Why? For what reason? For what purpose? Why? Asking why out of curiosity. To promote rapid brain development. Why? To try and gain an understanding of what's around us. Why? Helping us make connections. To explore concepts. To learn new information. Where did I come from? Who am I? Why am I here? Who am I? Where did I come from? How should I live? Where am I going? Does God truly exist? Why is there so much suffering and evil in this world? Is there only one true religion? What is my purpose? What does my future hold for me? What happens after I die? How can I know I'm going to heaven? Will God truly forgive me of all my sins and all the bad things that I have done? Things that people say about God. He's a creator. He's all-loving, all-powerful, all-knowing, always present. 80% of Americans believe in God or a higher power. 83% believe in God or universal spirit, the universe. 54% people believe in God as described in the Bible. 54% of Americans believe in the God that is described in the Bible. The other 30% believe in a higher power or spiritual force, the universe. I'm sure we've all heard, the universe helped me today. The universe. Or those people, they got karma, they got what was coming to them. There's so many words and there's so many names and there's so many labels that people like to throw out there. God, 54%, so like one out of every two Americans believes in God described in the Bible. Now, that's what supposedly people say. But how many of us know there are many people who say things they truly don't believe? So many people, humans, for whatever reasons, there are really good liars out there. There are people who state things and they're totally inaccurate in what they state. Why? Why do people state such falsehoods? There are people who believe in God, have faith in God, trust in God, those who serve God. You know why? Numbers of belief in Christians are dropping. That percentage, 54%, is dropping every single month and every single year. Why? Why God? Why you? Why me? Why us right now? What is our why, our reason and purpose? If I was to come down right now and put you all on the spot, and everybody had to speak into the microphone and say why you believe in God, what would be your why? Now, I'm not going to, but what if I did? What if I came down and I said, what's your why? How do you believe? Why do you say that you believe in God? What's your explanation? You know, many, when we talked about this last week, many people, they believe in God in the beginning out of a necessity. There was things they didn't understand, and so they attached the not understanding to God. They didn't understand the rain, so it must be God of rain. They didn't understand the sunshine and the power of heat and rain, so we must attach God's name to things that we don't understand. People believe in God out of a necessity, out of a need that they had. There's people who believe in God out of fear. They were afraid of death, afraid of dying, afraid to lose everything. And so they believed in a higher power. Even to this day, the very beginning to today, people still find God for different reasons. For something they can't explain, must be God. Out of a need, my life is horrible, it's broken, I want to eat chocolate and drink Coke all day long because it's horrible. Out of a need, I have nowhere else to go, so I must believe in God. Out of fear, so many Americans, so many humans, fear dominates the fear of loss, the fear of death, the fear of speaking in front of people, the fear, we have so many fears, the fear of spiders. I agree with one of those, I hate spiders. fear of snakes, the fear of darkness, the fear of so many things, fear, controlling, manipulating people. Out of fear, sometimes people have turned to God. And the question is this morning, what made you turn to God? Now, one of the other most common answers is family. Sometimes family, like my kids, they probably feel that I've squeezed them into believing, forced them from a very young age. You're going to go to church once, twice a week, just like, you know, my dad used to force me to go to church. It was four times a week. It was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and then worship practice on Thursday night. And I had to go to all of them. He's so mean, that big meanie out there. So my kids get a break. Right now, they only have to come with me once a week, right? So they're lucky. You're lucky, kids. Lucky. Some people believe in God because they were forced or pushed or inspired by another person. What's your why? What brought you to the point of starting to believe? Out of something unexplainable, must be God. Out of a need, something's not right, it's broken. Out of fear, out of someone you know? Or is it just simply because you realize the reality that God is real and true? See, if you believed in God, or started to believe, or started to come to church out of a need or fear or something unexplainable, your faith, it can't stop there. It has to continue to grow. Faith has a beginning. Just like this morning, there was a beginning. We all opened our eyes at different times. They might have been close, but we all had a beginning to today. Faith has a beginning. There's a reason why your faith became alive at some point in your life. But at some point in your life, if faith in God stays because I have a need, because I'm afraid, because I don't know how to explain this, then that faith, though alive and vibrant at one point, it starts to die. If your faith does not grow to the point of pushing and understanding, see, the more you read the Bible, the more you study the Bible, you'll understand God is real. This isn't just something that sounds good. It's not just a fairy tale. It's not something that gives me warm, fuzzy feelings. God is real. And having and knowing that God is real, that has to get, it has to get my mind and heart and soul past my fears, my needs, my wants, my desires. God's word. The universe, understanding, had a beginning. We talked about this last week. The universe had a beginning. And if it had a beginning, that means it requires a cause outside of itself. The universe had a beginning. And that requires our mind to understand that there's a cause outside of itself to a personal creator who possesses the ability to decide to bring existence into being. The more you look at the complexity of life, its order, its beauty, its display, it suggests a designer, not a random chance. The more that we look at the complexity of life, it has order, it has beauty, it's displayed every single day, it suggests a designer, and there's not a random chance. Look at the morality of human nature. You know, this week we know that there's a kid who went in and shot and killed people, right? I'm sure most of us know this. I would hope that every one of us would agree what that person did was wrong. The minute you state what they did is wrong, you now have a person who has morals. That means there's right and there's wrong. If we came from monkeys, if we came from slime, if we came from two worlds colliding, we would not be people with morals and character. We would have nothing. But the point that all of us understand, there is right and there is wrong, morality itself speaks, I came from something other than myself. There is right, there is wrong. Why? What's my why? Where has my faith led me to believe? And where it was born, where my faith was born, where my mind, my heart, my soul started to believe, where has it led me to this point? How do you explain your why, your reason? With that, we're going to go to a popular, one of my favorite stories. The last time I shared this a couple months back, there was an eagle attacking a bird here. It was really an amazing, it was perfect to the story that we were reading. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Then the people began to multiply in the earth, and the daughters were born to them. The sons of God saw the beautiful women, and they took any of the ones they wanted as their wives. And God said to them, "My spirit will not dwell with humans for a long time because they're only mortal flesh. In the future, their normal lifespan will be no more than 120 years. In those days, verse 4, for some time, giant Nephilites lived on the earth. For whenever the sons of God had intercourse with women, they gave birth to children and became the heroes and famous warriors of ancient times. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth. He saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry that he ever made them, and he put them on the earth. It broke God's heart. Verse 7, God said, "I'm going to wipe human race. I'm going to wipe them out. I've created them from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy every living thing and the people, the large animals, small animals that scurry along the ground. Even the birds of the sky, I'm sorry that I ever made them, but, Noah found favor with the Lord." Verse 9. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on the earth at the time. He walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. God saw that the earth had become so corrupt and it was filled with violence. Verse 12. God observed all the corruption in this world, for everyone on the earth was corrupt. God said to Noah, "I've decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them all out along with the earth. But build, Mr. Noah, a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar inside and out. Construct ducts, decks, and stalls throughout its interior." Verse 15, "Make the boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, leave an 18-inch opening below the roof all the way around the boat. Put the door on the side, build three decks in the boat, lower, middle, and upper. Look, I'm about to cover the earth with a flood that will destroy every living thing that breathes. Everything on earth will die. But I will confirm my covenant with you, so enter the boat, you and your wife, your sons, and their wives. Bring a pair of every kind of animal, a male, a female, the boat, with you to keep them alive during the flood. Pairs of every kind of bird, every kind of animal, every kind of small animal that scurries along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. Be sure to take on board enough food for your family and all the animals." Noah did everything as God had commanded him. And so as we start our new theme, why? I started with the beginning. So last week we started with the creation of the world. And it's important to know that in the beginning, and understanding the beginning, everything has a beginning, but it's important to understand the importance and the meaning behind the beginning. And so there's things in the text in the beginning. There's things in Genesis from the chapter 1 to the very end that speak of our why. It's important to understand the beginnings have such a vital role in every one of our lives. That's why they say, you know, for a kid who, between ages of 0 to 4, it's like 90% of their personality is developed in those first 4 years, in the very, very beginning of each child's life. How they're loved for, how they're cared for, how they're fed, how they're respected. Those first 4 years are crucial, crucial to everyone's beginning. Turn to your neighbor and say, beginning. Beginning. And so, in this text, there's a few things that are described, and it's important to understand to know our why. This is God's house. God's house. And God has a big, big house. I don't know about you, all of us have different sized houses. There are houses defined, and apartments and townhomes, and trailers that are defined by square footage. And so everyone has their own square footage. This earth, it has a ton of square footage, and it is defined as God's house. Psalms 24:1 says, "The earth, it is the Lord's, and everything in it." So repeat, this is God's house. Whose house is this? It's God's house. Whose house is this? It's God's house. Psalms 24:1, the earth and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to Him. For He laid the earth's foundation on the seas. He built it on the ocean depths. The earth is the Lord's, everything in it, the world and all its people belong to Him. What is my why? What is my reason? What is my purpose? I live in God's house. I live, you live, we live in God's house. It is God's house. And in our house, and in your house, in anybody's houses, we openly invite people to come in to destroy, steal, and break into our house and take things? Do we just openly invite people to come on over and take whatever they see, whatever they want, to damage what we have in our house? But for some reason, as believers, and even as humans, for some reason not understanding this is God's house, maybe I need to respect the house that He's given to me just a little bit more than I do. And in God's house, guess what? There are some rules. And I don't know if you remember growing up, because we're young, so we should be able to relate back to growing up. Can you remember at least a couple rules that mom and dad, that grandparents had for you? How many of us can remember being young and not liking the rules that were given to us? Because for some reason, when you're young, I don't know why, when we're young sometimes, it seems like it's only fun to break the rules. Don't stay out late. Okay, I'm going to stay out even later. Don't take the car and drive and pick up four friends. So what do? We go pick up five friends, right? How many of us were told, rules, these are my rules. If you want to live here and eat food and have a room, you need to be here before 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock. And how many of us kids broke at least one of mom and dad's, grandparents' rules? Now, did we ever think that our parents were so mean because they gave us rules? How many of us, at a certain age, we thought, man, these people are so mean. They give me rules. That's not fair. Don't they know I have friends? I have a life. I gotta do this. Rules. This is God's house. If it's God's house, He's got His own set of rules. Last week, someone went into a school where he killed innocent people. And many people, where was God? Why would God allow such nastiness and evil and wrong to happen to people? It's horrible. It's tragic. Look at 9/11. Terrorists who came over to our country, America, who stole airplanes and flew them into two very tall buildings where thousands of people died. And asking ourselves, why God? Why evil? And the simple answer is, many people may not like it, but to understand there's a why, there's a reason. God did not create robots. He created humans. And every human has the ability to have a free will and have a free choice. Now, does God want all of His kids to choose right? Absolutely. Does that mean all of them have? No. Just like our kids. How many of us have kids? And we want right for our kids, but sometimes do they choose to do bad things? Yes, they have. We can't force, God can't force on humanity everyone to be good, because if it was that way, we would be all made robots. And unfortunately, there's evil in the world. Now, on the other side of the coin, I do have to say, because it is promised and is stated, God is the giver of life, He's the creator, God's the sustainer of life, so He sustains us through life. But God, thirdly, is the protector of life. And so one of the most important things that we can, as kids and children of God, is learning to listen for dad's voice. Because how many times have you ever had a conversation with your kid, and you say, listen, you're not listening. Listen up! Listen! Listen, listen, listen! When you're trying to teach your kids right from wrong, when you're trying to show them right from wrong, we're trying to tell them to listen. I wonder if God's trying to say to His kids, you're not listening. because I'm warning you to stay away from this place, but you're not listening. I'm warning you to not drive down this road because there's going to be an accident. I'm warning you to not maybe go to work or school. And I'm not giving you an excuse this week to miss school. But if God's the creator, sustainer, and protector of life, see, he can only protect those who listen. He can only protect those who listen. So why does evil and bad things happen in the world? Because God gave man a free will. Why does God's children, good, get hurt and placed in wrong situations? Because somebody's not listening. Somebody isn't listening. Why? This is God's house, and it's God's rules. If your kids disobey you, if your grandkids disobey you, maybe you don't spank them anymore, but that would be fun, right? Maybe you don't ground them anymore. Take away their phone, put them in a corner, and have time out. Usually, there are consequences. The wrong actions. There's consequences for disobedience, right? And unfortunately, in God's house, with God's rules, there's consequences for wrong actions as well. And we see that in this story. We see that it says at this point in time, unfortunately, there was the creation of the world, the beginning of time, men, women, populating the earth, having fun, having babies, living life, up to this point. And up to this point, for whatever reason, human nature got so dark. It got so dark and so evil. It got so dark and so evil. It said everyone. God stated everyone was dark. There was only one person who wasn't dark. Can you imagine with the thousands of people on the planet, there was such darkness in every one of their hearts. It is stated about them that everything they thought and everything that they imagined was dark. And we can understand that because Google says that most of us in here, 80% of our time and day, what? Our brains are negative. We're thinking negative things about ourselves and about other people. And so I get that in the beginning of time, it says that every thought people had, it was bad. Cheryl, can you do me a favor and turn off all the lights real quick? And the problem with the beginning of time and being surrounded in a world where it's fully dark. Now, it's not fully dark in here right now. Why? Because there's light that is shining through, right? But as time goes on today, it will become very, extremely, and 100% dark in here. And you know what happens, see, spiritually with us? For whatever reason, we know that the light is good. We know that when we wake up and it's 6 o'clock and it's light outside, it's time to get up. The light is good. It provides the ability for me to what? See. Darkness, for whatever reason, many people get attracted to darkness and dark things. People, for whatever reason, no matter how light and how bright it's out, we get attracted to dark things. And you know how we know that people are attracted to dark things? Look at the movies that are made. How many movies have murders? There's murders, there's rapes, there's kidnapping. There's all this evil, dark junk that's made every single day. There's dark music, there's dark movies. And you know what? The more we talk about darkness, what are we feeding? We're feeding the darkness, and we're not being the light. In this time, and in the beginning, you can turn the lights back on. Thank you, Sherry. In this time, it was so dark. Everyone was evil. There was sin and evil everywhere. It was gross. And how many of us, kind of like compared to this time, we have said and talked about the dark things that are happening? That doesn't mean we ignore the dark things that are happening. I'm just wondering this morning, are we talking too much about the dark things that are happening? How many times do we talk about dark things that are happening instead of the good things that God wants to do? You know, one of the things in our heart, mind, and soul, a young heart, mind, and soul that's hard to understand is, I can remember, I know sometimes I bring up my dad, and sometimes, you know, I blame him for dragging me to church. But the other thing, the time that I was born in, it was okay to spank your kids. And so, yes, I was spanked as a kid. And at first, and at it, when you're really young, you're thinking, why am I being spanked? I'm so perfect. I'm so good. Right? Why does someone turn into this mean person with a belt and want to come after me and spank me? But at some point, see, my mind changed. And I realized, I'm getting in trouble and I'm paying the consequence of my actions out of love. Maybe in here this morning, what you're not seeing is consequences out of God's love and direction where He's trying to lead you to. God tries to lead, says that God is the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And sometimes what we fail to see is the protection and sustainer and giver of life. He leads us through circumstances. And sometimes the tough circumstances God allows us to because we need to learn a lesson, right? And as a kid, I'm almost 100%. Every one of us at some point had a rebellious heart where we did not want to listen to our family, our parents, or our teachers. And I hope this morning that every one of us came to that revelation, the discipline I get from my parents, my grandparents, maybe my teachers, is because they love me and they're trying to show me the way. Has your mind got to that point? Instead of feeding darkness, let's talk about the light. Instead of feeding the darkness, let's talk about the light. Let's talk about the love. How many of us know, because in every conversation, in every situation, we can stay and talk about darkness, or we can turn it around and talk about the what? The light of what God's doing. Yes, we can continue to say bad things are happening. Yes, there's still wars going on. Yes, people go into schools almost every couple months and shoot somebody. There are horrible, dark, really bad things that people do every single week. And we can continue to talk about it. But I wonder, in our speeches and in our talks, are we empowering the darkness because how much time we talk about it? Let's stop empowering the darkness with our words and empower the light which God has already given to us. Thank God that though the world was full of evil people, there was one person who was favored. It's crazy. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation. You walked into a room, walked into a job site, and you feel like maybe it's school, job, work, house. You're like, man, why does it seem like I'm surrounded by evil, horrible, dark people? I wonder how Noah felt, because it says everyone on the planet was dark and evil, but there was only one guy that was favored, that was living right. And it wasn't that Noah was perfect. It says that he was righteous and blameless, but the wording there wasn't that he was a goody tissue. The wording there wasn't that he was a brown noser and so he kissed God's butt. The wording that Noah was righteous and blameless was simply this: he chose God, where everyone else did not choose God. Noah simply chose God. He chose God over everything else. And that's what made him favored, and that's what made him righteous and blameless in his day. Simply, God, I choose you in this situation. God, I choose you. I'm going to choose the high road here. God, I'm not going to go with the low blow. God, someone's done evil to me. I'm not going to do it back. God, you are my judge. You are my God. I'm going to trust you. Noah chose God. And because he chose God, he was favored. He was favored. And so being favored, God gave him a job. And I don't know if you've ever felt this or built in this situation. He wasn't only just given a job, he was asked to build something that's never been built before. A boat. Up to this time, it didn't have boats. There wasn't even rain. It had never rained a day on their planet up to this point. There had never been a drop of water coming from above. There was the ocean. There was the rivers. There was lakes. But you know what? There never was one drop of rain on the planet up to this point. And so God asked Noah to build something that's never been done before. He asked Noah to build something big. I don't know about you, but to build something 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, I don't know. In my mind, I'm thinking, man, that's a little overwhelming, God. God, that's a little bit out of my comfort zone. God, that's a little bit past my capabilities. God, I don't even know what a boat is. How am I supposed to build something that I simply don't know what it is? How am I supposed to build this? God, how am I supposed to get it for 100 years? 100 years and commit every day to build something that I have no idea what it is. God, you're asking me to give my life, 100 years of my life, to build something. 100 years. 100 years. Now, luckily for him, he lived longer than that. But he gave 100 years of his life to build a boat, a very large boat. God doesn't ask us. Now, he does teach us in life to be faithful in small things so that you can be faithful in the larger things, correct? But at some point, you know what God also does? He wants us to learn to take on tasks that are greater than anything that we can think or imagine. To keep our mind, to allow our mind to say, God put me here not only to be a good man, a good woman, to be a good husband or wife, to be a good person. Yes, that should be the very basis. We have morals. We should be good. The best that we can. We should watch what we say. We should watch what we do. We should watch how we dress and talk because we represent God. We're his representative. We reflect him on the earth. So everything that we do, it should be a representative of God Almighty. And it should point. I am made in his reflection. So what I say and do, it should be to honor you, God. Right? But the small things in life is not where God wants us to stop. Does he want us to be good? Does he want us to be righteous? Does he want us to do small little things? Put money in a church? Help a brother or sister out once in a while? Absolutely. But God put you here to build a boat, just like he asked Noah to build a boat. God's asked you to build a boat. And what does that mean? Building a boat is to build, to be a part of something that's being built that is bigger and greater than what I can do on my own. To commit to do something out of my comfort zone. The comfort zone is a place that all of us, guess what? All of us have a comfort zone. All of us have a comfort zone. And you know what it is? It's a beautiful, peaceful place that we create in our minds. And this is the comfort zone where I like to rest. It's a restful area, my comfort zone. But nothing ever grows in a comfort zone. Nothing ever grows in a comfort zone. God wants the best for our lives. We want the best for our kids. Does that mean that we have to push them sometimes? We have to needle them sometimes? Yes, God pushes, God needles. So we cannot be afraid to step out of our comfort zone. And when we learn to step out, the only time you learn God's best for you is when you finally learn to step out of that comfort zone and step into what he has for you. The absolute very best that God has for you will only be found when you step out and step into what he has for you. But I'm afraid. And because I'm afraid, does that mean that I can just do what I want? That God put me, if it's his house with his rules, does that mean I should just get to do whatever I want, and how I feel? Because how many of us know when we tell our kids to take out the trash, do they feel like it? But do you still expect it? When you tell someone to clean their room, you think they feel like cleaning their room? Heck no! But why do we as adults base our life on feelings? We're trying to teach our kids not to base their life on every feeling. But why are we basing the direction of what God wants us to do on our feelings? This is out of my zone. It's out of my comfort. This is out. I am not capable. And so, does God then ask? Did he ask Noah because he knew Noah felt like he spent 100 years of his life building a boat? You think he felt like it? You think that he had an overwhelming, just cheerful, whoo, I'm going to spend 100 years doing this. Does that mean every Sunday, every one of us, we feel like coming to church? If we're honest, most of us sometimes would say, no, I don't feel like it. I can't get up. I don't want to. It's okay to miss, you know, 2 Sundays a month, right? We don't want to go there. But let's get that. Does God base your life on your feelings? Or does he base your life on what's right? We have to get out of our own head sometimes, because some of us in here, we're basing the life on our feelings and not on what God's asking us to do. God's put us here like Noah with a plan, with a purpose, to build a boat. What happened because Noah built his boat? What happened? We know that he was saved. We know that his wife, his sons, and their wives, they were saved. And they were rescued through the judgment of God, because one person chose God. One man chose God. And because of that, the rest of the people who were there, the animals, were saved and rescued through the judgment of God. And what is God asking you to do this morning so that other people can get saved? I wonder this morning what God's asking you this morning so that other people can be rescued. I wonder this morning what God is saying. Get out of your own skin. Get out of your own head. Get out of your sin. Get out of your bad choices and actions. Get out of these things that keep trying to control and take you away from what's right, so that you can do what I put you here to do. Other people get saved. Other people get rescued through the judgment God. And people would say, well, why would God judge us? Why does God allow evil? Why does God judge us? This morning I want you to think about something. Remember, our theme is why. And there's a lot of people who their faith in God is declining because of their why. Their why has changed from the beginning to where they are in life. Why they used to believe in God, they don't anymore. Evil. One of the evil things that are happening in our world today, because of evil, there are people who say they're leaving God and the church because evil is happening. Now, to me, is that a good reason or excuse? No. But in their head, that's what they think. Because there's evil, because there's bad, mean, evil people, I should leave God and the church. Everyone has an excuse. Everyone has a reason why they are leaving God, and that is their why for them, for some reason. Where's your why this morning? Noah had a why. For whatever reason, he was able to distinguish himself and separate himself from the rest of the world to say, I choose God. When everyone else wanted to party, when everybody else wanted to be bad, when everyone else wanted to do bad things, Noah said, I choose God. I choose God. I'm not going to choose this in the situation. That's why it's, how many of us have heard, you know, the first impression in life, it's a big deal. Everywhere we go, and it starts in school, because things that happen in school sometimes carry with people for a long, long, long time, right? First impressions go a long, long way. So everywhere I go and everything that I do, the first impression I make should be to every living person. It's God first in my life before me. It's God first. So that changes how I represent. That changes what I think and what I should do. The song's called Through All of It by Colton Dixon. And there's a couple things that I like in there that one of the reasons I played it. You know, there was a young man who was battling cancer, and he said he battled a number of times. But he said at some point he had to change his attitude. And I wonder this morning, because we're asking what's my why, my reason, my purpose, I wonder if God's asking any of us to change our attitude. Because every person, the 8 billion people on this planet, all of us came from different moms, different dads. All of us in here came from different circumstances. I don't know if any of us have gone through some of the hard things that are in those stories that are hard, horrific, tragedies. But no matter who we are, no matter what we've gone through, we all have to decide every single day, this is my why. And I should have a good attitude about it. I'm here for this reason. If I have all that I have, if I feel like I'm lacking and I don't get everything I want, still, this is my why. God gets me through all of it. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, we must all stand before Christ to be judged. God's house, God's rules. We all must stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive what we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this body. From our heart, our mind, our soul, from our words, from our actions and our attitudes. Listen, no matter what any other person on this planet does, to understand, every single one of us will stand before God to be judged, and we will receive, this is what we deserve, for the good, for the evil. Why? God's house, God's rules. This morning, if any one of us had a son, a daughter, sister, or brother, they were tragically murdered and killed, you would want justice for the person you lost. In our heart, mind, and soul, every one of us, we understand morality, we understand character, we understand right and wrong, and when something wrong happens, yes, we want justice. God doesn't play favorites. God gives the same rules to everyone. It's the same story, how I read it, how you read it. Yes, people interpret this story differently. Yes, people interpret God differently as they're asking themselves why. It's God's house, God's rules. God's house, God's rules. And we will all be judged one day for the good or the bad that we do. It didn't say in here, it's what we say. Jesus said, you'll be judged if you're angry. He says, you're going to be judged for idle words, careless words you say about other people. He said, listen, if you are judgmental, you are going to be judged. If you don't forgive, I'm not going to forgive you. We all stand before God one day. Every single one of us, when we pass, we stand before God. And this is going to come up. What's been your why? What did you live for? What was your reason? What was your purpose? What did you do with what I gave you? Noah, what did he do? He built a boat. In building that boat, animals and humanity, they were protected, they were preserved, and they were saved from judgment. What does God put right in front of us to protect? What does God put right in front of us to preserve? What does God put right in front of us so that others can be saved? What has He given us to build so that others will be saved? And so that people in our life will not be judged, to be saved through the judgment of God. Hebrews 9:27, just as each person is destined to die, after that comes the judgment. Romans 5:8, but God showed His great love for us because He sent Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And those who choose Jesus have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ. He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. Jesus Christ is the only person who can save you from the condemnation and the judgment of God. What He did on the cross, His saving grace, the saving work of the cross, the power of His blood, the power of His life, a perfect man who was God and man in one body. He had God and man in Himself in one body, and He gave Himself as a sacrifice for sins. Only He is the one who can represent you in front of God Almighty. If you committed a crime this morning, if you did something bad and you committed a crime, would you want a lawyer who was a fool, didn't know what they were doing? Or would you choose a good lawyer to defend you so that you didn't get busted? See, this morning, it's funny, because God's the only one, His Son Jesus, who has the power and right to defend us in front of God Almighty. But yet, some of us, we choose our friends. Some of us, we choose our friends and we choose Google, and we choose to make up our own religion, right? Some of us, we're choosing. We're not choosing what the Bible says. We want to add a chapter to a book in here. It sounds harsh that one day we're going to be judged. So let me add on to that a little bit. Let me add on to God's word. That doesn't sound right. That sounds a little mean, right? So let me add on to this. God alone sent his son to be your representative, Jesus Christ. And to those who choose Jesus as their personal lawyer are the only ones. And how does Jesus represent each one of us? You know what he said? He said, you have to give up your life and follow me and take up your cross. And when you choose to give up your life, he said, give up your own selfish way of living and you take up your cross, then I'm going to represent you. He said, come, follow me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Jesus, the great, great lawyer. I have one closing parable, and then we're going to wrap up and pray. Matthew 13:24. Here's another story Jesus told. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, the workers slept. While the workers slept, his enemy came in, and they planted weeds among the wheat, and then they slipped away. When the crop began to grow, it produced grain, and the weeds also grew. Verse 27, the farmer's workers went to him and said, sir, the field where you planted the good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from? An enemy has done this, the farmer exclaimed. We should pull out the weeds, they asked. No, he replied, you will uproot the weed if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest, and I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles, burn them, and put the wheat in the barn. You hear this story. You hear what's going on in the world. Many of us, and many people say, pull the plug. I don't know if you've ever had or heard of family members who have had to pull the plug, and it's a tragic situation when someone is facing death in a hospital bed, and there may not be a chance to survive. And so what do they say? We're going to have to pull the plug. Let's just let them go. This story, this parable, is exactly what it's about. This is in the beginning. God created life. He put seed in the earth. That seed, us, was born and given life. But at some point, there was an evil farmer who came and he planted evil seeds. And so some people chose to listen to the seeds of the evil one, the devil, and their hearts became evil. Somebody, it says, went to the boss and said, boss, let's pull the plug. It's too bad. It's getting too dark out. Let's pull the plug. And what did Jesus say? No. We got to wait till the end. Because if we pull the plug right now, we're going to lose some of the good people. At some point of this earth will pass. And at some point God says, this is it. But it's God's patience and it's God's love that gives you, that gives me another chance. It gives our friends, it gives our cousins, it gives our uncles and our aunts, it gives the homeless people in this town, it gives the strangers in this town another day because of God's patience and his love to see one more heart changed and find the grace of God. It's God's grace. It is God's patience that gives us another day before the end. The end is coming. Why? What's my why? We started in the beginning with God as our creator. God is my creator. And as he created the earth, he calls me by name. He calls you by name. And what does he call our name for? Today, we saw Noah. It's to build a boat. Build something that God has put it in front of you that will save and rescue people from the judgment and the death that is coming. God created me, God calls me, and God has a plan and a purpose with instructions, with provision. This is what I put you here to do. It's the plan of God. And you think about the boat as we wrap up this morning, we get ready to pray. The boat protected, the boat preserved, the boat saved. Who wants to be protected in here from evil? Who wants to be preserved from all the harmful things happening out there? How do I stay protected? How does my life stay preserved? I gotta build a boat. Amen. What's the boat God is asking you to build, to be a part of something bigger, greater than what you can think of in yourself? It's not, I don't go where I should feel comfortable. I don't need to be where I feel like I'm around everyone else who's like me. I need to be where God calls me to be, and that's it. I need to be who He calls me to be and go where He calls me to go. Not out of my comfort. Not what feels right. Not by my feelings. Did Noah feel like spending 100 years? I guarantee he didn't. They didn't even have coffee back then. So I know that Noah didn't feel like getting up every day to build a boat. I know. We can't go by what or how or what we think or what we feel. We go by the plan. God created you, God called you, and has planned for you. And that's it. Created, calls, and here's the plan. Why? What's your why? Has your why gotten bigger than your needs? Has the why gotten bigger than your fears? And has your why gotten bigger out of the things that you can't explain? Has your why, has it become the real deal? This is why I believe. I know. I showed that video through all of it because those people went through real horrific situations. And what did all of them say? God got me through my right, my wrong. God got me through. God is their why. Is God your why this morning and every single day? Let's pray.